Okay, first report, two victims in the water, stuffed up against a rock. First personnel was a Forest Service personnel. Came on scene, he advised what we had, good size up. We got on scene, it's exactly what he had reported. Two guys stuck up against a rock in some rapids. Our first priority was to make sure they were safe, somehow secured. They're approximately 8 to 10 yards from the shore, so we were able to toss them a vest secured to a rope. They were able to put them on and secure them. Kind of kept them safe in case they went downstream. Meanwhile, we positioned three guys downstream with rope bags in the event they did break off and floated downstream. We were able to retrieve one victim by utilizing the rope we tethered on his vest and bring him into shore. Second victim, we weren't able to do that. Search and rescue was on scene and they wanted us to wait for the boats to arrive, which we did, we honored that. Like I said, Forest Service first on scene. They had some additional personnel arrive. We had originally injured.
Hey, wow. This is reality TV at its worst. Okay, hopefully you could see that. There's a rescue operation taking place in Kern County, California, I believe is where this YouTube video came from. So check it out if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what happened actually in this particular a rescue operation. And here's what I'm not sure what we can understand here about why these guys didn't have life preservers on. I originally thought they were trying to raft down the river and got flipped out and were clinging to the rock in a very precarious situation, but they didn't have life vests on, so they would have really been out of their minds to try to do that. So I'm not sure how they got in that water, but I for sure believe that they did not expect to be in the very dangerous, life-threatening predicament that they found themselves in, right? Thankfully, there was this group of rescue workers with lifelines that they threw out to them, and both of them were eventually rescued and brought to shore, thankfully, right? We're talking about this topic, why go to church anyways? And maybe some people in your life have actually said that to you. Why go to church? You're in church, so I'm speaking to the choir, as they would say. You're here, but why go to church anyways? There's a lot of people that ask that question today, and we're answering that in a four-part series that we've entitled that. And last week we talked about one of the reasons why go to church is because the church is all about love. That is, loving God and loving people. The two most important aspects of living on the planet is loving our the Creator who put us here, and then loving the people all around us that we cross paths with. Today we're going to talk about why go to church anyways? Because, friends, the church is a lifeline in this sometimes dangerous world. The church, the people that we associate with in church, become to us like a lifeline that God has positioned there, not for our benefit and the benefit of everyone else. And we want to look in more closely at that this morning. So I brought this, life ring or buoy ring that they throw out to rescue people in the water, right, in a dangerous predicament. And this is like the church. The church is like this lifeline that rescues us in perilous times. Even when we're following and journeying toward God in this world, as well as the need for this lifeline before we maybe came to Christ. The church is a lifeline in this sometimes dangerous world. I just messed that up, didn't I? I'm not sure. Let's see if I can get it to work. You're all watching me, aren't you, to see if I can do this? I'm not going to make it happen. There it goes. Maybe it's like that. There we go. All right. I can manage some of the mechanical things of life, and some I cannot. Sometimes in the day-to-day, everyday life situations, we encounter some dangers. Now, there's dangers come at us from two different kind of directions, if you will. There's the very obvious dangers of life, right? Living life. We're on the mountain road driving down the edge of a cliff, you know, with some great scenic beauty, and we're tempted to look off into the, you know, wilderness, but there's this edge, right, with a 1,000-foot drop, and there's this light and shining in getting our attention, along with the sign that says, caution, sharp turn ahead, sharp turns on this road. And so that's this kind of obvious danger that we're alerted to in. And so those are the obvious ones. But I want to talk to you today about the not so obvious dangers in our lives, things that we don't necessarily look for, and all of a sudden we're beset with them. They come and they're there in our neighborhood. We have a number of cars in at our home, and we came to understand that there was some theft of cars in our neighborhood. Certain models of cars, some in the years, late 90 Hondas, and I think Acuras was another car. We came to understand that because some cars had been stolen. And that was a danger that wasn't so obvious to us. And there's a couple people in our household that have those kinds of cars. Not so obvious danger, all of a sudden we could be missing cars because the thief just doesn't want to tell people that he's snooping around looking for those kind of cars, right? Think of this. What are some other not-so-obvious dangers? What about the dangers of those things that can become addicting to us? What about, no one believes that when they maybe took a few initial drinks in their life, or perhaps took experimented with some drugs, or looked at some passing porn, that those things could be dangerous to their lives. But some people found themselves down the way a little bit, looking back and saying, I didn't see that coming. And boom, they're in this kind of prison in their lives. Not so obvious danger, but a very real threat in our lives. Our spiritual lives, what I want to call for us today, are eternal souls. That's the most important part of you, is the eternal soul part, a part that lives forever, right? Can be in danger over some not-so-obvious threats. How many of you have ever gone to the theater and put on the 3D glasses to watch a 3D movie? Anybody have that experience? So if you don't use the glasses, you don't get the full, vivid experience of what really the creator of that film wanted you to experience. You got to put those lenses on and experience that 3D, okay? And, you know, spiritually, there's some not-so-obvious dangers that we're going to only be able to see if we put on the 3D glasses. And the 3D glasses, friends, for us, our eternal souls, our spiritual lives, are the Bible. When we look in the Bible, we see some things out here in our everyday lives that we would normally not be able to see clearly, not be able to detect, not be able to understand until maybe it's too late and we've been hurt, we've been damaged because of some danger and threats of this not so obvious kinds of dangers, because we live in a world that can sometimes be dangerous even to our souls. So I would like to invite you to look at the virtual 3D dangers, three dangers, not so obvious ones, through the lens of the Bible today. And the first danger, and it begins with a D, is the danger of the devil. The devil. Now, how many of you have seen the devil walking around out there? Anybody seen the devil? Not so obvious, is he? I thought he wore a red suit with little, you know, horns on. But he never shows up in my life that way. He doesn't disclose himself. He's rather incognito. He's in the shadows. He's the deceiver, so he's deceptive. Look at what the Bible says, the alert verses to this danger in the Bible. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Forgive that it's cut off there a little bit. Is there any way to fix that? That cut off on the right-hand side, son? So that we can get the full impact of that verse. Look at that. Look what it says there. Your enemy. Okay. Now look at the next verse just underneath that. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's just two of many verses. Do a study on this if you're led to uncover, to find out more about this not so obvious danger to our eternal souls. The danger of what I want to call a personal enemy. His name is the devil. He's called variously our adversary. He's our slanderer. He's the one who's trying to deceive us and tempt us into doing things that'll damage our lives. That's the devil. Notice a little bit about the way he operates. He prowls around, get this picture, like a roaring lion. He's kind of got a terroristic kind of aspect to him. But the prowling around like a lion also gives us this picture of how a lion sneaks up on its prey, not wanting to be detected, not wanting to be obvious, because the dangers that are obvious, we get, and we avoid them. We avoid those dangers. It's the not-so-obvious ones that can get us and bring harm into our lives. So the Bible helps us through the 3D lens to be able to see these kinds of dangers. Here's this personal enemy called the devil. Notice that he is a schemer. This is this idea of trickery. He wants to trick us. He's got a strategy. And he has a target. And the target is you and me. Again, he's your enemy and he's mine. Now, what the Bible does is it makes more obvious what is less obvious to everyday people walking around on the earth. And so as we read the Bible, as we put those lenses on, right, the 3D lenses, we can see the danger of the personal enemy that we all have. And it's my job to let you know about that this morning, that there's some of these kinds of dangers. But here's the good news. God has a lifeline for us. He has a lifeline. Look at the lifeline verse. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you may pray. You notice the terminology, be alert and of sober mind, connected to the devil prowling about. Notice what the same writer says just a little earlier than that verse, pray. We're to be alert and of sober mind that we would pray. But notice what he goes on to say. Above all, love each other deeply. And the emphasis here is my emphasis on some of these particular words that we would be able to focus in. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling or complaining. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of the manifold or God's grace in its various forms. Now, this is a picture of the church. The church is a lifeline in this sometimes dangerous world, friends. The church you're part of right here, the branch, is a lifeline to you and to the rest of us. It's a lifeline to us. In other words, we're going to love each other, because we all have got sins, and sometimes multitudes of them were difficult to love, but we still will love each other deeply, the Bible encourages us to receive each other, that hospitality. You're going to have some time today around the pizza tables. Woo! And we're going to receive each other, and we're going to get to know each other, and we're going to learn more about each other with that opportunity to close in and help each other, perhaps even throwing out a lifeline on occasion. We're to serve each other. God gives us grace. Often that grace is in operation through other people in the church. And so when we need a word of encouragement, God sends an encouraging person to us, perhaps from the very church we're part of. And that's God's grace serving us in our time of need. Isn't that cool? And so we see this incredible thing that happens. I want to focus a little bit on this idea of prayer. Prayer is really often talked about in reference to spiritual warfare. If you've heard that terminology before, where we're warring with the greatest battles on earth are the battles that are often unseen, but we see the casualties and rates all around us sometimes of what's happening because of the effect of the spiritual war that's going on that's unseen. Well, prayer is one of those things that we do for each other as well as for ourselves. There's a great story. It's recorded in Acts chapter 12. Acts is the history book of the New Testament church, at least the first 30 years of history. And in that particular chapter, and I invite you to go and check this out because it's an exciting chapter to read about the forces of war that are at work. So James, one of the 12 leading apostles that became the foundation for the church, that Jesus built his church on this foundation of the apostles. James was one of them, and he was taken captive, arrested by Herod, who was the king at the time over the area that's now Israel. And at that time, he had James beheaded. And he was martyred for the faith, because of his faith. Then, guess who was the next person that was arrested? Peter. Peter was arrested. And it was assumed that the same thing was going to happen to him. However, if within the very context of that, it says that the church was praying for Peter. Peter was arrested, but the church was praying for Peter. And you know what happened? I believe through the prayers of the people of the church, God sent an angel and rescued Peter like a lifeline from certain death, which they all believed would happen to him as well as it happened to James. And he was let go. Peter actually found his way back to where the people of the church were still praying for him. Friends, you wouldn't believe what happens to Herod. You'll have to read the chapter to get that, okay? Chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Take note of it. Go there and read about this, because friends, the devil is not more powerful than God, okay? God is greater, more powerful, can handle whatever the devil would throw at you. Here's the deal, though. We need the lifeline of other people sometimes, praying for us, loving on us, and serving us, and receiving us. We need the church. Why go to church anyways? Because the church is a lifeline to us in those sometimes very dangerous situations we might find ourselves in life. Let's look at the second D of this 3D lens we have from the scriptures. The church is a lifeline for us. And the second D is even less obvious than you might think of the devil in the scripture. It's this potential of drift. Drift. Pause with me for a minute. Think about that word, drift. What does that say to us? Just kind of gradual, isn't it? We're moved away. Look what the alert verse says on this one. I think if I got the right one up there. We must pay, look what it says, the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that, in order that, the idea is here, that we do not drift away. Drift away from what? What's the idea here? The idea is that these, at the time, were Jewish people who had turned to Christ, had accepted Jesus as their Savior. They were the Hebrews of the Israel area that at the time. And this book called Hebrews, the Hebrew writer, was writing to these people who were tempted to return back to their old ways, neglecting the things of Christ, or at least some of the things of Christ, some of the things of what Jesus had brought that was actually a fulfillment of what they had believed in. And they were tempted to kind of let that go, not listen anymore to what they heard originally about Jesus and had turned to receive salvation and this the new way of life. And so the writer here points this out. You must pay most careful attention to what you've heard, that you wouldn't drift. away. Drifting is a danger, is it not? How many of us might have found ourselves in a place as we followed Christ in our lives where we didn't pay as close attention to some of those things that were, we found out, really pretty vital to our closeness to God and our way of expressing our faith in our lives. And we found ourselves apart in some, maybe some distance that we wouldn't have thought, how did I get here? And maybe we let go of some habits. Maybe we let go of some things that were holding us close to and making our attention firm on what God was trying to do in our lives. Ever happened to you where you might have drifted away from the gathering of the people of God? Have you drifted away from maybe your devotions to God that you were that were so helpful to you at one time? There's numerous kinds of things we can talk about here. One of the things the branch is doing is we're reaching out to people that in a lot of cases have lost contact with a church community, a faith community. And they're accepting our invitation to come back in and discover or rediscover what that is all about. And they're finding out it's a healthy thing for their lives. Yeah, but it's a thing we have to prioritize. Here's the lifeline verse here, friends, for drift. Look what it says. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Could I insert drifted a bit, right? But encouraging one another all the day, all the more as you see the day approaching. There's an end coming, an end to this kind of life. And we're to be prepared for that. We're to be encouraging others toward being prepared for that as well. This is the lifeline that the church has for each other to spur one another on. It's a very intentional thing. We don't normally do that easily. It isn't second nature. Now, to some of you that are natural, gifted encouragers, yeah, you're willing to come up and share encouragement all the time. But for the rest of us, something like me, sometimes I got to intentionally say, I need to spur someone on to the loving and to good things in life and to being part of the fellowship, to being, you know, taking in what God has for them through the church. And as I would do that, I'm a lifeline. As you would do that to other people, you're a lifeline to them. As we find ourselves in a state of drift, hopefully somebody's throwing us a lifeline here, throwing us a life buoy to help us. It's the second D in our 3D of the dangers. The third one is the eventual doom. The D is for doom. Okay? We have the devil, we have drift, and then we have this idea of an eventual doom. Look at the alert verse on this. Is that it? Alert, danger. Jesus said these words with the idea of alert, being alert. Look what he said. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoops, I lost it. There it is. Look at the doom that's coming upon the world as we know it, church. Look at this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. I don't like talking about death. I don't like going to funerals. Some of them I have to officiate. I don't like talking about the doom and gloom of the very end that is sure to come. It's as sure to come as you're sitting here today. There will be a day that will come when Jesus returns, when full judgment upon the planet will take place, when people will find their ultimate salvation in a resurrection from the dead to an eternal place called heaven, but where there will also be a destruction of those who are not followers of God. There will be a judgment upon those whose sin has not been taken away. How is our sin taken away so that we don't incur the judgment for sin? You know how it happened? God threw us a lifeline. Jesus Christ is our lifeline that was thrown to us intentionally to rescue us, to deliver us, to save us. God did that. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. He's the sin sacrifice, which means that God offered Jesus, his very own son, up on the sacrificial altar, which happened to be a cross, a death that is the most cruel kind of human punishment ever devised on the planet, most say. And God did that because of his incredible love for your soul and mine. He didn't have to throw out the lifeline. We deserved the danger, the death. We deserved. But he did. And Jesus, who had no sin, who obeyed God perfectly, was willing to die in our place to take on that penalty that we could be saved. And when God throws out that lifeline to us, it's our faith that grabs a hold of it. It's our faith that says, this is my only way that I won't perish for eternity, is that I've got to grab onto Jesus Christ and what he did for me. It's the lifeline from God. And are we thankful for that, church? At the Branch, yes, we are. We're so thankful that God threw us that lifeline. And I don't do this very well. I'm going to try to get it back up here. We'll see how that works. Okay. And here's what God asks us to do. As we have taken that lifeline, God asks us to in turn be a lifeline for others as his church. As his kind of what metaphor is his body on earth, like his, you know, literal body, Jesus was in the flesh to seek and to save what was lost. And now God, through the figurative body of the church on earth, is to be about that same thing. So look at the lifeline that Jesus calls us to be. He says, you are the light of the world. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Yes, he is, but he also calls us lights in this world. You, the Branch, each one of you personally, is a light. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't that cool, what God calls us to? And then, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus spoke these words. Jesus has a mission for you and I, and it's this lifeline mission. We are a lifeline to people in our lives. We're a lifeline to this community in concert with other churches that are trying to do the same thing. And people don't sometimes even understand the danger that they're in and how much they need the rescue workers to throw them a lifeline. They're up against the rock in their lives, and the pressures are on, and the weight of the world is just crushing them. And a lot of people, it's just not so obvious to them. Sometimes they need some clarity. Sometimes they need to have somebody come along and say, hey, check out these glasses. Look at what the Bible says here. Look at what God is trying to do in this world. Can you see how this explains what's happening here, and this explains what's going on over here? And there's an eventual doom coming. And we have to awaken people to this in our day and age in many cases, friends. Now, some people hit some of those, you know, wake-up calls in life, and they start to say, okay, what is there to help me? And they become somewhat open because they're seeing the dangers of life become a little more obvious to them. But in many cases, people are oblivious to the eventual doom that's coming that could come any day. Or it could be another 2,000 years. Here's what I will tell you. Every single person will die if they're not living when that doom event, that doom comes. and that death constitutes the judgment. First comes death, then the judgment. And so it's imperative that we're out trying to rescue people in our world like we were rescued. And so at the Branch, we're all about knowing Jesus, but we're about making him known. We're a missional church, friends. We're a church that's dedicated to lost people in our community. We need to be this lifeline, not just to those within, as we have concerns over threats in our lives and potential dangers that we're unaware of or aware of. We're there for each other, and we're going to pray for each other. But we're also about reaching out to the people that are sitting down with the Colombian right now in their homes, drinking a cup of coffee with no clue as to the condition of their life when doom eventually comes. We have that responsibility. Jesus says, you go and make disciples of all people. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey whatever I command you, and I will be with you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. This is what we're called to, friends. We've been doing all kinds of things over the past 8-9 months, from having family fun fests in the parks to kind of get our brand, our name out there as a Branch, a new church in the community, ministering to families, letting them have some opportunity to connect in healthy ways. We value family life, and so we're going to promote that family life. We're going to support that kind of family life in our community. We had a wonderful, in this room, over 900 people in a couple hours passed through on a Halloween night, called it our Family Harvest Party. Out of that, there's, I think, people maybe even being here that are here this morning that were part of that, finding out about what's going on here as we just kind of let people know we're a new church. We have some very intentional outreaches where we invite people into like Sunday morning atmospheres, but other kinds of outreaches. We've had Thankful Friends Night just before Thanksgiving. We've had, at Valentine's, we had a very special event that take place. We're trying to do invitational outreaches all the time. We encourage you. And as week by week, if you know of people in your life, in appropriate ways, to do an ask. To say, hey, I'd like to ask you to attend a new church with me that I've been attending. It's different. It's a little wild sometimes. May not be what you're used to about church, but you have some great people that are part of this church. And they've got a mission that's really great in our community. So just, you know, that's the kind of thing that we need to continue to do. I'm going to move into our connection time and ask you to take out your connection card this morning. Could everybody take one of these out? And if you don't happen to have one in your hand, we can put one in your hand fairly quickly. If you raise your hand up, we got a hand over here, connection cards. And they're going to come to you. Just keep the hand up until you get it in your hand. I have an extra one, so I'm just going to walk out of this for a moment. We'll restart the screen in a minute. So we give you 40 seconds to make sure you have time to put your name on this. Why do we need to get this from you if you're already here and we know who you are and you've given us your information? Good question, Dave. Well, here's the thing. Who knows that somebody that's not here, by declaring that you're here, we're able to look over our records and see who was not here. You know what? They could be needing a lifeline right now in their lives. They could be needing a lifeline. And by you turning in one of these, doesn't cost us very much, I guarantee you. It's of huge help to people that may not be here that might need a lifeline as we contact them and see how they're doing, what's happening in their lives. So just doing that alone is enough. But if you turn the card over, you'll notice that there's a place for prayer requests. And you might be saying, hey, I want some strength in my life in a particular area. Would you pray for me? And there are some people that are praying through these requests. And so I just would encourage you, do you need somebody to be in prayer for you? Prayer is powerful. It can rescue us. It can help us because it activates the hand of God. And sometimes he commissions an angel to come and bring protection into our lives or to release us from some peril that we're about to get hit with. So do you have a prayer request? I encourage you to use it for that. Do you have a response this morning to what we've been talking about? to seeing a little more clearly some of those not so obvious dangers. If you have that and you'd like to let me know about that, if it's something you're trying to process a little bit in your life and you'd like to let me know about that, if you'd like me to contact you and have a little conversation with you, I'd love to do that. But here's your way of being able to communicate with me. Obviously, you can try to talk to me or others here, but this is a great way. I just would encourage you to do that. We're going to run that 40 seconds, so take that 40 seconds and make it useful to prepare that card, and we'll be turning that card in shortly. Got it? Thank you for being willing to do that. Thank you for just taking a moment to pause and process a little bit. So this during this next song we sing, it's a communion song, a song in which you can encourage anybody here that's a follower of Christ to remember Jesus, to remember the very gospel that saved us. Jesus is like a lifeline, is he not? If you have come to believe and trust in what Jesus did in the cross of salvation for us, then you have grabbed onto that lifeline by faith, and you're safe, okay? You're safe for eternity. But if you have if you have not, friends, there's a lifeline that's thrown out to you. It's Jesus Christ and what he did for your life out of the very love of God. We remember that Sunday by Sunday by taking communion. At the back of each of these little sections, there's a table with a couple places where you can take communion today during this next song that we will sing together as much as you would like to, as well as your personal worship time in communion. We do this together at the branch. We do it every week because we need to remember Jesus Christ, our lifeline, every week. So let's pray, and then we'll have the band up here to lead us in a song. During that song, you can take your communion. Almighty God, we are so thankful that your love extended yourself in Jesus to be our lifeline of salvation. We have heaven, and we have the security over the wiles of the devil, over the possibilities of drift in life that can happen, and over the eventual doom that's coming upon the earth. We are thankful for the lifeline of Jesus. Receive that thanks as we commune with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.